This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. And let's take our Bibles this morning, open up to Luke chapter 12, 12th chapter, book of Luke. Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1, we'll read through verse 9, have a word of prayer, and then we'll take off from there. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that can have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? For even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Our Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you'd bless it to our spiritual understanding. We know this is a spiritually discerned book. Only the saved can discern the truth of it. And one step more, Father, the saved in fellowship with you. And so we pray that that's the case here. That everyone here, number one, is saved. And every one of the saved that are here are in fellowship with you. The reality is that there may be people here that are lost. And so, Father, I pray on behalf of myself, for this local church, for each and every one of them that need to be saved and yet have not come to Christ, that they would come today and not put it off any longer. And for we who are saved, that you might speak to our hearts on a very important subject that we need to be not only aware of, but to proclaim militantly. So I ask that I stay out of harm's way here, harm's way being getting in your way, and that you use the things that I've looked at, that you have impressed upon my heart to give out, to do so, and nothing more, nothing less. The Holy Spirit might have his way in reaching each and every person, and not only each and every person, but me, myself as well. So we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I got this from a church in Kansas City. Preacher was giving it out. I just happened to fall on it. And I've had this in my catalog for a long time and thought it would be appropriate for this morning. So what I'm about to say is a quotation, and then I'll tell you when it's over. Wake up, sing up, preach up, pray up, and pay up, but never give up, or let up, or back up, or shut up until the cause of Christ in this church and in this world be built up, unquote. To me, that's an appropriate start, because there are many of us that need to wake up. And many of these other things, and there's many negatives in there that we need to, you know, rid ourselves of until we can realize the truthfulness of what I just said. All right, in this chapter 12, our Lord is speaking to a great number of people. A number so great that they're pressing upon each other. I've never been in a crowd like that until I was on a train in China. And the trains in China are the bullet trains. And when the doors open, people fall out. And then an innumerable amount of people come in, so that you have to, if you have anything with you, you have to make sure you're holding on to your possessions. But there are people that are almost literally chin to chin as you go to the next stop. Well, I don't know that it was like that, but it says that the press was so vehement that you couldn't hardly move. Most all of them were Jewish, if not all. And the Lord is speaking to this multitude and his disciples. And immediately, as you read verse 1, goes after the strictest and most powerful sect of Judaism, warning the people of them. Now, maybe I went too far, so I'm going to back up. What did he just do? He was warning the people about the Pharisees, the sin of the Pharisees. Today we live in an age where that's not acceptable. Well, I'm glad the Lord gives us a good example. Because if you're not warned about what is wrong, how will you discern truth from error? I mean, many times the preacher has to work as a shepherd. Here's a wolf. Oh, I don't want to hurt those poor sheep's feelings. Well, maybe you won't have as many sheep as you had before, because many of them will be dead. So the Lord knows, and I'm following his warning, and he reveals to them their sin of hypocrisy. Now, they appear to be a people, if you're familiar with the whole history of Pharisees, a people that are deeply religious, pious, concerned, regimented, strict, but they're not. It's a mask. It's a show. It's a front. They're not that like that at all. It's not genuine. You read Matthew 23. Go back and read Matthew 23 and look at what the Lord says about these people. But why did he do that? That's the religion of the day. It's the most popular. It's the only religion of the day next to paganism. Yeah, well, a lot of times there are people that are in positions of truth that are just like that. And I think it's sinful not to say anything. The Lord Jesus Christ said that all they're hiding, all that they're doing that nobody else sees, everything about what's happened in private will one day be revealed. To me, that's a comforting verse, because there is so much hypocrisy today, everywhere. And I'm not talking about acts of hypocrisy, I'm talking about hypocrites. There's a difference. A Christian can be hypocritical, but he's not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a lost person. And so these are hypocrites. And so they weren't just acts. But everything that has been hidden to the law, or to you, or to me, or to the government, or to the police, will one day be revealed. In other words, everything you do, even though you think you get away with it, you really don't in the end. So therefore, verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. It's kind of a companion verse to Matthew chapter 10. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." We are more afraid of man than we are of God. We're more afraid of man than the fear of the Lord. We shouldn't be. Man can only do so much. He can't do anything more. But yet we think he can. So then, verse 5, we have a forewarning of whom to fear. "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." It can't be man. It can't be any man. It can't be any church. It can't be any religion. It can't be any ministry. It can't be anything affiliated with man, because he does not have the power to bring on the second death. I mean, after you're dead, he can't kill you again. After you're dead physically, he can't kill you spiritually. But there is one that can. And that's the one you're supposed to fear. It obviously can't be any of those things. The warning about judgment to come in hell were spoken by the Lord more times than he spoke of heaven. I mean, we think that anything regarding this is negative. Well, so is my Lord. His earthly ministry, he spoke more about hell than he did heaven. This is an actual place of future punishment, this hell that is preached about. And it's reserved for all who receive not the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand this from the outset. Nobody goes to hell who does not belong there. Just as much as nobody goes to heaven that does not belong there. You can have a guy that's in behind a pulpit. You can have two pulpits. You can have no pulpits. You can have different systems of belief, and they can tell you that you're guaranteed and you're assured of heaven, when in fact they can't make that happen if you're not prepared to go there or don't deserve to go there. And that's the fallacy that comes, you know, about that. Now, when I bring up about the Lord preached more about hell than he did heaven, certainly more than average preachers or teachers today. Certainly. Because this is not a very popular thing to do. Well, if you're looking for popular, then there's plenty of places where popular is head. We want to entertain you. We want to please you. We want to make you think well of ourselves, of yourselves. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I never want to hurt anybody's feelings. But understand, unpopular as it is, if we're going to be faithful to the Word, we've got to give it out. So in Matthew 25:46, the Lord addresses this as everlasting punishment. Now, in case you did not understand, what you don't understand what that means, it is a punishment that will never end, ever, and culminates in eventually in an everlasting lake of fire. I saw a picture from one of the satellite cameras of the sun, and they were having eruptions on the sun. And it was just obviously it has to be a distant image. But I was just looking at that and thinking, what phenomenal power and heat. I mean, and fire was they were like volcanic eruptions, but it was eruptions of the sun. And that doesn't even come close to the lake of fire. Not even close. You do not have to go there, by the way. And yet most people will. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord talked about a narrow way and a broad way. And that the broad way was so massive, everybody was on it. And there are only a few people on the narrow way in comparison to the broad way. And he ends the verse, "And few there be that find it. Now, you know what I've found? I found that man has come along and turned that around. And he said, there are tons of people on the narrow way. No, that they're the saved. We're making them all acceptable. There's just a few people, these Bible believers, these people that actually take the word literally, and they're the ones that are there. They're on the wrong way. No, still Scripture still is right. All right, 54 times in the Word of God, hell is used. 10 different phrases about this particular place. I'm not going to go through those, but here are a few facts. I just heard recently that the Department of Homeland Security Secretary presented facts to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and she rejected those facts. Well, you can do that with these facts. Matter of fact, a lot of people do. But just remember Nancy Pelosi. You like to be in her company? There's worse company to be. It is a place of unquenched thirst. Not one drop of water, ever. Now, I know that a lot of you come in here thirsty. And there's a thirst quencher right there when you come in. What if there wasn't? And there wasn't any, anywhere. Well, in hell, there's no water. There's no water. It is a place of horrifying cries and screams, of torment. It's a place that is filled with good, moral, and religious lost people. Do you hear what I said? Good, moral, religious, lost people that have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as the dregs of humanity. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. Salvation Army today is nothing of what like was, it was when he founded it. But he said this once upon a time. I've never forgotten this. Although sometimes I think I ignore it, and I'm quoting. If I had my way, I would not give any of my workers 3 years of training in a college. But I would put each of you in hell for 24 hours. Because it would be the best training for earnest preaching, teaching, and living you could ever have. Unquote. 24 hours in hell. I guarantee you, I settle for 2 seconds. Now we have people, and they write books. And they said they've gone to hell and come back. I guarantee you, they did not. Be careful of the voices you listen to and the things you read. They may sound good, but nobody that's gone to hell has come out. Just remember that. If you're going to say, I believe the Bible, no, they couldn't have gone there and come out. It's impossible. This is a place where the conscience never dies, where there is a continual torment from memory, whether it's the lies of false religion or that you could have been saved and wouldn't do it. You just refuse the facts of Scripture and of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for you. And to me, that has to be some of the greatest torment. That I had the opportunity to do the right thing, but I wouldn't do it. They gave me week after week after week, year after year, and I said, no, I don't need that. And you live with that for all eternity. It is a permanent place. And yet, despite the torture, despite the torment, despite the fire, you will not be consumed. You remember in the Old Testament? The Lord put a fiery bush before Moses that continued to burn the entire time the Lord talked to Moses, but yet was not consumed. If you're not familiar with it, go back and read it. If the Lord could do that, I'm sure he could make a body that is never consumed either. But that just continues to burn and burn and burn. Have you ever seen anybody get burned? Have you ever seen anybody in a fire? It's one of the most horrific things you could ever see or smell. Somebody wrote that hell is the madhouse of the universe, where remorse and an accusing memory cause unspeakable torture and torment. And I believe that's true from Scripture. Go with me to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. And look down here in verse 17. Who are the people that are going to hell? The wicked shall be turned into hell. But not only the wicked, and all nations that forget God. Russia, China, Cuba, Venezuela, and a lot of other socialist, communist nations that are atheistic. They long since forgot God. China's now cracking down more and more. More and more people are being hailed off into prison, wrecking their churches. What is our future? What have we been doing? 1963, we outlawed prayer and Bible reading. Thank you, Madam Murray. And it's gone downhill ever since. Hasn't gotten better. We're on the road. All nations that forget God. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Anybody in here consider themselves to be wise? Somewhat wise? Fairly wise? I didn't say smart, but wise. Wise in your dealings with different things? Well, Proverbs chapter 15 talks about a really wise person. Verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Do you regard yourself as wise? Then you'd settle this issue of salvation right now if you haven't before. Right. You would not put it off because you don't have any guarantee, even on this afternoon. You would not want to postpone it. And I encourage you to be wise. Even if that's the only wisdom you would ever have, it's the best you can have. In Jude, verse 22, New Testament, right before Revelation, have this short one-chapter book, Book of Jude. I'm in the camp of people that say that Jude was short for Judas, and that Jude, being the Lord's brother, never wanted to be associated, anybody to associate him with Judas Iscariot. That's nothing to do with what we're going to speak about, but I just thought it's important. Verse 22 in Jude. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Look, unbelief in Christ by faith alone as Savior is the damaging thing here. I was not alone. When I was lost, everybody around me was lost. I never knew a saved person ever. And when Linda, who's now my wife, first asked me if I was saved, I had no clue whatsoever, even though I had a religious background, what that meant. And I think today that word is now being counterfeited. There are false religions that use the same word, but they don't mean what God means. So we have to have a compassion on them. You try to love them to Christ first. But if that doesn't work, what else do you do? Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. They're on their way to a Christless hell. The fire is still hot as it ever was. That's where they're going forever and ever. And here the Lord Jesus Christ had my sin imputed to him and yours. The sins of everybody were put on him on the cross. And he paid them in full. And if he paid them in full, how many do I have left to pay for? Come on, New Math people. All sin, your sin, paid. What's the remainder? Zero. And yet more people will reject what Christ did. They won't be forgiven. And they'll wind up paying for their sin for all eternity and beyond, if that's possible. The Bible says, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for you, for him that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in him. He took it all. He paid it all. And he wants you to trust him in what he had done, what he's done for you, and receive him by faith as your Savior. Now, listen, if there is no hell, go home today and burn your Bible. Don't even put it in recycle. Put it in the trash. You don't want it recycled. You just want to throw it away. But if there is a hell, then read the Bible and believe it. All right. I'm going to embark on some things that I think are important. Why no one should go to hell. And I preface it with this. And not only in this subject, but some people receive the truth like an oak plank. Usually the best you can get is as small as a 3/4 inch piece of oak. They receive the truth as an oak plank receives a nail. If you just take a regular nail, and most of the nails today are so non-threatening, you can hit it and they'll bend. And you can go, I better hit a little bit harder. And you can do that and it bends. And you say, well, I'm going to really whack it now. And then it falls off, hits you on the finger, but it still bends. So many times what you have, basically what I'm saying is you have to hit it with a sledgehammer. All right? With a sledgehammer. Well, you know, I don't have a sledgehammer, but I have a two-edged sword. And I will guarantee you what people that are hard-hearted and are picturesque of the oak plank, this two-edged sword can cut right through it. It's a living book. All right, John chapter 3, verse 16, you don't need to turn there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, the first reason that you don't want to go to hell is God doesn't want you to go to hell. He does not want you to go to hell. God the Father does not want you to go to hell. As a matter of fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it said that he wants all men to repent. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he wants all men to be saved. It's God's will for men to be saved, not lost, not go to hell. All right, well, who does God use? There you are. Here I am. He uses us. Most people aren't going to sit down and read through the Bible and get saved. It has happened, but most people aren't going to do it. You've got to be the instrument by which they can see their need and show them how they can receive Christ as Savior. He gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Spirit to bring you the conviction you need about sin and righteousness and judgment. Listen, God is. There are people today that picture God as a God of hate and anger. That's not the God I see. God is love, but He's also just. He's also righteous. He's a light. There's no darkness in him. We can go through all the attributes and everything that is equal. God is all of those in one. He didn't hate Adam and Eve when they sinned. If he hated them, he wouldn't have clothed them with skins of a killed animal, which pictures this, clothing us with his righteousness after we're saved, the righteousness of Christ. So very, very important that we understand that. He gave his only begotten Son. He gave us the Spirit. He also gave us his Word. Think of that. He gave us his Word. Now, I don't know how it's been for you when you were in the workplace or are in the workplace. Most places have handbooks, manuals of this is what the company wants you to do. When I went to work for a fast food restaurant in Miami, I went for a 2-week training period with a fellow that was from Cuba, and he said, this is the book. He says, if you read this book and you follow this book, you will advance. And he said, I don't know how to tell you this any other way. This is the book. And so he said, you stay here, I'll train you in the book. I've always used that and say, look, here is the book. As long as that I've been privileged to be able to pastor or teach, this is the only book I've taught. Because this is the book. And if you'll respond to the book, number one, it can bring salvation. Number two, it can bring blessing. But this is it. You want to read another book? Go ahead and read another book. You want to see this or see that or go here or go there? You go ahead, but this is still going to be the book. He gave us his Word. All right, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look here. Let me get there. Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus Christ does not want you to go to hell. How do you know that? By his death on the cross and the immense sufferings that he went through. We cover this a lot of times in the Lord's Supper from Isaiah chapter 52, around verse 14, I believe it is, that Jesus Christ on the cross didn't even look like a man. He was so disfigured, so beaten, so his skin torn apart. Everything about his face would have been bruised and swollen. Everything about him was just bloody. For you. For your sin. For my sin. He did that. He doesn't want... He would go through that so you could just kind of arrogantly say, well, I'm going to go to hell. That's where all my friends are. I guarantee you in hell you have no friends. Ever. You'll never know of anybody else that's in hell either. His love for sinners. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why would he come and do that? Would you do that? Would you seek out somebody to become and befriend them that hate you? Despise you? Lie about you? He did. He loves us because he suffered in my place, your place. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Look down here in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I believe people in heaven don't want you to go to hell. And I know that when somebody gets saved, there's joy in heaven, even in the presence of these angels. Do you have saved loved ones that have gone on to glory? I don't believe they want you to go to hell. Even though you're lost, they don't want you to go to hell. Luke chapter 16. And we'll start here in verse 27. Luke, in verse 19 to the end of the chapter, you want one of the better descriptions of what goes on. Read that, but here we're going to pick up in verse 27. This is the rich man that is speaking. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he hadn't received Christ. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Pay attention to what he is saying. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. People in hell do not want you to come there. I do this a lot of times in funerals, where I become a spokesperson for the dead. And I base it on this. Whether it's nice when you know they're saved. If you don't know they're saved, I'm certainly not going to say somebody's saved that I have no idea whether they are or not. But I will assure them that whatever position they're in right now, if they're in hell, they don't want you to come there. And if they're in heaven, they don't want you to go to hell. Send Abraham. Send anyone from the dead. And the Lord says, no. If you don't believe the word of God, if you don't believe those who are alive, you don't believe the prophets, you don't believe the preachers that preach the word of God, even though there are people that have been risen from the dead, they're not going to repent. All right, so now wait a minute. Who rose from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And look how many people will not believe. So the rich man in hell had it all wrong. He had it misfigured that if somebody from the dead would go and speak to them, Christ went and spoke and had the apostles and had the church age, and how many believe? Not many compared to those that don't. And yet the gospel remains the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not put on probation, but saved. You're out in the ocean. You don't have to be in the ocean. You can be in the river, but the ocean's cleaner. So you're out in the ocean. And I'm driving the boat. And you fall overboard. You don't know how to swim. So I circle around and come back. And you're gasping and saying, help, save me, save me. And I throw you a book. The extensive approved manual on how to swim. So you go under. And you come back. By now I've come back around. And so I pull you up into the boat. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You saved my life. And so I turn around and we start heading back to shore, but then I stop and I throw you back in. All right, in that silliness, was I your Savior? What would I have to have done to be your Savior? I would have to have taken you completely to safety. I mean, we don't even understand what a Savior is. So if we're talking about being saved, does that mean saved until you throw us back out of the boat? No, forever. If I have everlasting life, how can that be ever and the lasting part taken off? It's got to be everlasting. If you go back up to verse 26, you find that hell is a place of no hope. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You can't live in one place and then decide you want to go to the other. Now, I've never known anybody that's been saved that would rather to go to hell. Maybe they say they were saved. Maybe they profess that they were saved. There are people that profess they were saved and then went off and denied everything. I can't get into that other than to say, look, there's a lot of people that profess they can say anything about anything. But here is a place you cannot go from one place to the other. It is impossible. Literally impossible. When you arrive in hell at the instance of death, it's too late to receive Christ as Savior. It is too late to reverse it. It is too late to think or imagine, and you won't, that you have a second chance. It's too late to be prayed out or to be bought out. It's utterly impossible. You're there. That's where you'll be. Until a time in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, where hell is emptied out and people are cast into the lake of fire. You say, well, you're painting a picture of no hope. No, I already painted a picture that you don't have to be there. And there's only one way that you don't have to be there. Every other way will put you there. Believe on Christ and then be baptized. That will not save you. Believe on Christ and then join this church and do this and do that and pay this. No, believe on Christ. That's it. I said that's too simple. The gospel is simple. It's not complex. I'm not saying you can live as you please. We are, as Bob was saying in Sunday school, we've been foreordained that we should bring forth good works, we who are saved. We're the handiwork of Christ. It has nothing to do with it. So, is there anything? Is there anybody worth taking a chance on going to hell over? Any sin? Any habit? Any rebellion? Personal rebellion? The answer is no. And if you bring it up a trillion times, the answer will still be no. That they are not worth, and it is not worth going to hell over. So I don't want to be embarrassed. Embarrassed? Is that worth going to hell over? Dishonoring my parents' false religion? Is that worth going to hell over? Good night. Is it smart to gamble with your soul? I have nothing that I can say good about the lottery. But I do have a toilet at home that would gladly receive all the money you put into the lottery. And I will flush it, and you have an equal amount of chance of winning the lottery as flushing my toilet. You're going to gamble with your soul? Are you serious? Today is the time for salvation. Today is the day for being saved. Not just for you, but for others as well. Today is the day that everybody, that I'm talking to you, everybody here, today's the day that if you're not saved, you should be. Today's your day. And everybody we meet all through the week, today's their day. Go with me to chapter 12. If you go back to chapter 12, Luke chapter 12. In verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God... said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? Is it smart to gamble with your soul? You're going to put it off until you can build bigger barns or build this or build that. You're going to put off your salvation in Christ. You don't need to turn there. But this verse here is very important as well. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Gain the whole world. You know what the world's made up of? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So imagine you got everything you wanted, you lusted after in the flesh. And everything you saw and lusted after, you got that as well. And you received the pride of life and lost your own soul. Where's the profit? None. It's not worth gambling. It's just not. Be wise. Be something that doesn't take a whole lot. Be wise and come to Christ now, because He will save you, He will satisfy you, and He will secure you. He will. He's promised it. And we who are saved, we need to be obedient. Tell others and live out Christ among them. Don't let anybody doubt that you're a saved person. Live it out in everything you do, everything you are, and everything you say. Because there is a real hell, just as there's a real heaven. And the devil wants you to go there. Hell, not heaven. And he's been pretty successful, I would say. And I'm trying to stand in the gap between you and hell. I'm not trying to stand in the gap between you and heaven. So what's the verdict? Because you have the answer if you're lost. And it's right here. And if you'll come to Christ, He will save you completely. And if you'll tell other people about Christ, who knows? Pray. Lord, put me in touch with somebody that needs you. You feel you don't need Christ? It's a bad day to gamble. You're here. This is your opportunity. Let's pray. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. Thank you for being patient with me. This is important. You say, well, this is a hard way to start a new year. This is a realistic way to start a new year. We spoke about New Year's on Wednesday. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want us to go through the motions. I don't want you to go through the motions. We need to be a people that wake up. People are going to hell in droves. There could be someone right here, or several. I don't know. I don't want you to go there. I really do not want you to go there. But way above me is God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God's Word. All saying, don't go there. People in hell, don't come here. If there's anybody here this morning that has never received Christ as Savior, and I'm talking about receiving Him, calling on Him to save them and acknowledging that their sin debt has been paid and just trusting Him as their Savior by faith. Why don't you come forward in the invitation? Oh, no, I can't do that. I might be embarrassed. Okay, write it down. Forever I will live in hell because I was embarrassed before man to trust Christ. And whatever other reasons you have, we who are saved, we who know the truth about hell, we need to sit down among all the other things we do and ponder over the reality of what this what this even is, how long it is, how hopeless it is. And if we have the truth, give it out. Whatever the cost. Father, speak to our hearts. Have your way during this invitation. I've said all I know I need to say, and I pray the Holy Spirit has been at work. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.